the big transitions of when I became a priest just over 3 years ago was that there really is no gradual introduction into the life of a priest. And what I mean by that is there's no kind of progressive nature, in the sense that it wasn't as if I got the easy stuff first and then was slowly introduced to more difficult situations. For example, when I first heard confessions at the parish, I had the assumption that I would hear kind of the basic ones first, and then the more serious stuff would kind of happen later on. Well, this did not happen. And I don't remember exactly everything I heard, because that's one of the graces of confession. I forget what I hear. But it's pretty heavy material to begin with. And this was an experience for me for everything. And one day in particular, it was a day in September, so the anniversary of this day is coming up. So I was a priest about 4 months at this point. And I was sitting in my office, and my office phone rang. And there's a secretary saying that there is a man here who needed to see a priest and seemed pretty distraught. And the pastor was gone for whatever reason, and so I was the only priest there. And so, not knowing what the situation was, I said I would be right there, and I went to the front desk. When I got there, there was indeed a man who looked pretty shaken up. And so I introduced myself, and at this point, some butterflies were forming in my stomach, and invited him to come with me to my office. And as we walked, he must have been struck by my young age, and so he asked, "How old are you?" And I told him, 27. Upon hearing this answer, he immediately stopped in the hallway and started sobbing. And he told me, he said, "The police were just at my house, and I just found out my son overdosed and died last night. He was your age." In a seminary, you can train a man as much as it can and kind of go through different scenarios, but it can never prepare anyone for a moment like that. And yet, 4 months into my priesthood, there I found myself standing in the hallway, standing with a man sobbing over the death of his son, who is my age. Now, what words can be said in such a moment? The answer is obviously none. I did not have words 4 months into my priesthood, and I still don't have words now 4 years in. And so rather than try to say anything, that man and myself did the only thing that we could in that moment. We went into the church, and we went to the only one who had the words to say. And we embodied in that moment the words of St. Peter, "Master, to whom shall we go? You have the words of eternal life." And we sat there, we just sat in the church. For how long, I don't remember. Long enough, though, that in the midst of the shock, the questions, the pain and suffering, the not understanding, the anger and the helplessness, we came to believe and were convinced in the midst of this horrific tragedy that in that silent church, in that silent tabernacle, in that silent host which resided in the tabernacle, was the Holy One of God. In a moment like that, to whom else could we go? Shortly later, I had that young man, my peer, his funeral the following week. It was one of my first funerals as a priest. And I found out later that that family had not been going to church for some time. And yet, in the next 3 years, I would see, especially the father, at Mass every week at 7:30 a.m. And when I see him and when I call him on the anniversary of his son's death, we still share very few words, because to this day, what words can we share? But there is a deep and heartfelt connection between us because we have come to know who we must go to when our life is shattered and our heart is broken. The one who has the words of eternal life when we have no words to say. We hear in the gospel how, upon hearing Jesus' words, many people went back to their former way of life. For those like this father who have lost a loved one, and especially someone we've lost in a tragedy, we know that there is no former life to go back to after a moment like that. That father could have gone to many other things. He did not have to go to the church that he had not been in for years, and he could have turned to anything that would have numbed the pain of his broken heart. But he knew, as the Hebrews did in our first reading, that those lowercase gods offered false words. Words promising numbing and forgetfulness, which would only drown out the words he needed, the words of eternal life from the Holy One of God. Each one of us needs to know to whom we shall go when our life gets hard and even shatters. For as that father learned and I learned, life does not gradually get more difficult, but confronts us immediately and at a moment's notice. And if we do not know who to go to in even those smallest trials, we will turn to things which break us even more. Do you also want to leave? Simon Peter answered him, Master, to whom shall we go? You have the words of eternal life. We have come to believe and are convinced that you are the Holy One of God.